Greetings, this is Tyler McFeeters with your News Gazette dated Thursday, February 27th, 2025. We'll begin today's reading on the front page with an article out of Champaign County Court, Bar Manager's Killer Committed for Up to 60 Years. Victim's wife says she hopes he gets treatment he needs. Article by Luke Taylor, T-A-Y-L-O-R, out of Urbana. The man found not guilty by reason of insanity in the 2024 shooting of a Champaign bar manager will spend up to 60 years in high-security inpatient mental health treatment. Fidele G. Chimanga, T-S-H-I-M-A-N-G-A, 25, of Urbana, was charged with first-degree murder for the February 17, 2024 death of Poor Brothers Craft Taproom manager Brandon Hardway, H-A-R-D-W-A-Y, but was found not guilty on July 19, 2024. Mr. Hardway's wife, Erin Hardway, was present in court Wednesday when Champaign County Judge Randy Rosenbaum signed off on the Illinois Department of Human Services recommendation that Chimanga be held until February 12, 2084 at the latest. We knew the outcome, that he was going to go to a mental health facility, but the fact that it's actually going to take place and happen, I have a lot of relief that this part of everything's done, but it just brings up a lot of emotion, she said. It won't bring Brandon back, but I can close this door. Chimanga has been in custody since shortly after the shooting. Mr. Hardway told police that he had been standing outside the bar when a man approached him and asked for a cigarette, and after he declined, the man shot him in the back and fled. Surveillance footage from surrounding businesses confirmed his account. Mr. Hardway died at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana about a week later. Chimanga admitted to police that he had shot someone, believing he had been disrespected in some way. He also admitted to stealing the firearm he used. The owner of the 9mm pistol, a Savoy resident, reported it stolen from the center console of his vehicle, where he left it while out of town for 4 days, possibly with the doors accidentally unlocked. Erin Hardway, who said she is an advocate for improved process access to mental health treatment, also wore a pin reading, "Guns are not pro-life," to court Wednesday. Fidele had access to a gun because someone did not store their firearm correctly according to the law, she said. It's a twofold thing. If the firearm owner had done the proper and lawful thing and had their gun stored properly, the shooter would not have had access. My husband could still be alive. If the shooter had been able to have more access to mental health care, possibly my husband might still be alive. During his July 2024 trial, lawyers said that Chimanga had a long history of mental illness and deteriorated rapidly around 2021. He was admitted to Carl in 2022 for violent behavior and suicidal and homicidal thoughts. He described similar thoughts during treatment at Rosecrans. In 2023, he was admitted to Carl again for similar reasons, but also apparent visual and auditory hallucinations, stating he was in the Matrix and people were out to get him. Chimanga was also treated at the pavilion for some time, and in a November 2023 session, described having thoughts of harming people, but not having the means to do so without a firearm. Two forensic psychiatrists who evaluated Chimanga determined he was exhibiting signs of psychosis before and after the shooting. Even while on medication for psychosis in June 2024, Chimanga told one of the psychiatrists he believed there was a conspiracy out to get him, though he was only 50% sure Mr. Hardway was involved. Public defender Elizabeth Pollock said that the 60-year treatment recommendation means that Chimanga can be held in inpatient treatment for up to that time, though he may be conditionally released to outpatient treatment earlier, as determined by psychiatrists treating him. That would only be after he is determined to not be a threat to the community. IDHS is required to keep the Champaign County Court updated on his progress, which can in turn keep Mrs. Hardway updated. I hope he gets the mental health services that he needs and that he gets the proper care that he needs and that he deserves, she said. My understanding is that his family did the very best that they could with the resources that were available to them. Mrs. Hardway said she is concerned about potential cuts to Medicaid that would affect mental health care, because if those cuts were made, things like this can continue happening. She said that she wants to make her husband proud by being empathetic and focusing on causes like improving mental health care and gun safety. She also thanked all of the law enforcement and prosecutors involved in the case for their work and her family, friends, and community for their support. While nothing can bring Brandon back, knowing that so many people have stood by me and worked tirelessly on his behalf means more than I can ever say, Aaron Hardway said. Insurers' customers scrambling for cover. Champaign schools among those that must make a switch. By Jana Wiersema. Out of Champaign. If you'd have asked the head of First Mid Insurance Group for an assessment of Health Alliance at the start of the year, he'd have told you that the company was pursuing the group insurance business aggressively, offered competitive rates, and was a viable carrier. That's what made this week's news, that the Carle Health-owned business would close by year's end, all the more surprising, First Mid CEO Clay Dean said Wednesday. I think it's very alarming, and we think it will be disruptive to the health insurance marketplace in general, locally, Dean said Wednesday. Carle Health announced Tuesday that Health Alliance and fellow Carle subsidiary First Carolina Care will cease operating all lines of business except Medicare Advantage as of January 1, 2026. Company officials said that both organizations have faced financial strain from a variety of challenges such as inflation, increased use of medical or of health care services, higher volumes of chronic medical conditions, and an increased demand for technology. Carle Health has had to make decisions that enable us to better focus on our core services built around the health and well-being of patients, said Carle Health President and CEO Dr. James Leonard. We recognize that in today's health insurance environment, our health plans no longer successfully compete, and Carle Health must effectively utilize our resources to meet the changing needs of customers. He told the News Gazette's Jim Day that the company will work to provide other job opportunities within Carle to Health Alliance's 600-plus employees. According to Leonard, who said that ending most of its plans by 2026 was a very difficult decision, roughly 187,000 Health Alliance members will have to find insurance elsewhere. On the other hand, the future of another 45,000 members covered by their Medicare Advantage program has yet to be decided. Carle said it will continue to serve members seamlessly through the calendar plan year. Dean estimated that about 3,000 First Mid Insurance Group customers will be impacted. This includes 2,000 who are on Medicare Advantage plans, and he said the group is especially concerned about these individuals given the current unknowns around that component. We will probably have more certainty in June due to how Medicare works, as far as who the players are going to be in certain geographic areas like Champaign County, for example, he said. And there are obviously other players like Blue Cross Blue Shield that are in the space. So we're not necessarily worried about people losing coverage. It's more a function of who's going to be their insurance carrier. Dean added that First Mid has begun proactively reaching out to our customers and advising them on a case-by-case basis. We have a clear plan in place and plenty of staff to handle this, and there have been other disruptions like this historically, so we are well equipped to help people, including other customers that aren't with us if they need help, he said. And so I have no doubt that our team will get folks through this. A full announcement from First Med about the news is available at bit.ly/healthalliancefb. The company, which is owned by the same parent as First Mid Bank and Trust, is an insurance broker with locations in Illinois, Missouri, and Wisconsin. At the local level, one employer that will be affected by Health Alliance's plans is the Champaign Unit 4 School District, which offers insurance to its workforce through the company. Our health insurance plan remains in full effect until June 30th, 2025, and we do not anticipate disruption to our benefits as a result of this decision, the district wrote in a letter to employees. It added that district administration, leaders from the Champaign Educational Support Professionals Union, and leaders from the Champaign Federation of Teachers are in the process of reviewing our insurance offerings for the upcoming school year and will consider the news from Health Alliance carefully as we determine how best to proceed. CFT Co-President Mike Sitch said that approximately 950 job titles are covered by the teachers' union's collective bargaining agreement, which includes stipulations regarding health insurance. "First, I want to acknowledge the loss of jobs and impact that this will have on workers and families in our community," he said. "We are obviously concerned and hope for as little upheaval as possible for members and families in terms of getting the health care they need. As a union, we will advocate alongside our sister union, CESP, and the administration for what's best for all of our members and those impacted by this loss." Urbana School District 116 provides health insurance through Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois. So does the City of Urbana. The City of Champaign currently provides employee health insurance through Health Alliance. However, its current policy year ends Friday, and the City Council voted in January to approve a contract with Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois that will commence Saturday. Multiple state legislators have released statements expressing their concerns over Health Alliance's announcement and intentions to help affected constituents. "My office will stand by to try and help in any way we can in job training and recruitment efforts for the impacted employees," said State Senator Chapin Rose, Republican of Pahmott. "Moreover, I have already reached out to the state's Central Management Services Director, who is in charge of the group health insurance contract under Governor Pritzker, to see what healthcare options will be available come open enrollment in May for the countless families who currently utilize Health Alliance for their insurance provider." State Senator Paul Faraci, Democrat of Champaign, said that he is deeply concerned and disappointed by the news. "The impact of this is far-reaching, as it places thousands of people at risk of losing critical health coverage," he said. "I urge Health Alliance, which has been a long-trusted provider for families across our communities, to protect their members rather than leaving them with uncertainty surrounding the care they need." State Representative Carol Ammons, Democrat of Urbana, wrote in a social media post that she will strive to get as much information to the public as possible regarding this matter, while also continuing to call for expanded access to health care and lower prices. "Although large insurers may step in to fill this gap for our families, we have little to no idea the financial consequences that may affect Champaign-Urbana," Ammons said. "We're not lines on a graph. We're human beings. All of us need health care." Child dies of measles amid Texas outbreak, its first such U.S. death since 2015. Story by Joseph Wilkinson, Wilkinson, of New York Daily News. A Texas child has died from measles amid an outbreak across Texas and New Mexico that has sickened more than 130 people, authorities said Wednesday. The child is the first person to die from measles in the U.S. since 2015. The victim, who has not been identified further, was not vaccinated against the disease, officials said. In Texas, 124 cases of measles have been reported since mid-January, all in the far western part of the state. Additionally, at least 9 cases have been recorded in eastern New Mexico, though authorities in that state said it was unclear if the outbreaks were connected. All but five of the cases in Texas affected people who were not vaccinated against the disease, according to the state health department. Only five people older than 18 have been infected, while 39 children ages 0 to 4 and 62 children ages 5 to 17 have been diagnosed. Five people's ages have not yet been reported. Though measles was essentially eradicated from the United States around 2000, the disease has made a comeback in recent years. The vaccine against measles is 97% effective, but powerful vaccine skeptics, such as newly confirmed Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr., have helped convince people it is not necessary. Gaines County, where 80 of the 124 Texas cases were reported, has one of the lowest vaccination rates in Texas. According to state data, 14% of school-aged children in the county opted out of at least one vaccine, a number that could be higher since many children are homeschooled in the rural county. The last person to die from measles in the U.S. was a woman living in rural eastern Washington in 2015. Prior to that, it had been 12 years since an American measles death. 4th of July mass shooting trial, main jury seated. Alternates now being selected. Defendant has skipped several court sessions. Story by Clifford Ward, WARD, of Lake County News Sun. Out of Waukegan, the final juror was selected Wednesday in the case of Robert Cremo III, setting the stage for next week's trial of the man accused in the Highland Park mass shooting almost 3 years ago. The panel's final member was selected on the third day of jury selection. The juror is a medical technician who said she hadn't followed the Cremo case since its early days in 2022, but added, "We all assumed he was guilty." However, she told Lake County prosecutors and Cremo's defense team that she could set her initial opinion aside and listen objectively to the evidence. Cremo did not attend Wednesday morning session. A guard told Judge Victoria Rossetti that he had checked on Cremo earlier Wednesday, and the defendant indicated he did not plan to come to court. He missed parts of the first 2 days of jury selection, attending in the morning but not returning to court in the afternoons. The judge, noting that she had admonished Cremo that the proceedings would continue whether he attended or not, moved ahead with jury selection. Now that the panel of six men and six women has been seated, the attorneys were moving on to pick six alternate jurors who would hear the evidence but would not deliberate on the verdict unless one of the regular jurors was not able to participate. The first alternate was selected before the noon lunch break. The panel is expected to hear evidence that will be presented beginning Monday and over the next 3 to 5 weeks against Cremo. He is accused of accessing the roof of a building in downtown Highland Park on July 4th, 2022, and firing on the crowd assembled for the city's Independence Day parade. The shooting killed seven people and injured more than 40 others. Cremo was arrested later that day after he was identified as a suspect. He has since remained in the Lake County Jail. International Atomic Energy Agency watchdog, Iran has accelerated uranium program. Story out of Vienna with the AP. Iran has accelerated its production of near-weapons-grade uranium as tensions between Tehran and Washington rise after the election of U.S. President Donald Trump, a report by the United Nations nuclear watchdog seen by the Associated Press on Wednesday showed. The report by the Vienna-based International Atomic Energy Agency said that as of February 8th, Iran has 605.8 pounds of uranium enriched up to 60%. That's an increase of 203.9 pounds since the last IAEA report in November. That material is a short technical step away from weapons-grade levels of 90%. A report in November 2024 put the stockpile at 401.9 pounds. It had 363.1 pounds last August. The significantly increased production and accumulation of high-enriched uranium by Iran, the only non-nuclear weapon state to produce such nuclear material, is of serious concern, the confidential report stated. According to the IAEA, approximately 92.5 pounds of 60% enriched uranium is theoretically enough to produce one atomic bomb if enriched further to 90%. The IAEA also estimated in its quarterly report that as of February 8th, Iran's overall stockpile of enriched uranium stands at 18,286 pounds, which represents an increase of 3,725.8 pounds since the last report in November. The Trump administration said Iran must be prevented from acquiring nuclear weapons. President Trump has put the Iran regime on notice by reimposing maximum pressure and is committed to ensuring the regime never gets a nuclear weapon. He has also made clear he is open to talks with Iran to come to an agreement that fully addresses the outstanding issues between our two countries, National Security Council spokesperson Brian Hughes said. Trump's first term in office was marked by a particularly troubled period in relations with Tehran. In 2018, he unilaterally withdrew the U.S. from Iran's nuclear deal with world powers, leading to sanctions hobbling the economy, and then ordered the killing of the country's top general. Under the original 2015 nuclear deal, Iran was allowed to enrich uranium only up to 3.67% purity and maintain a stockpile of uranium of 661 pounds. Iran's accelerated production of near-weapons-grade uranium puts more pressure on Trump, as he's repeatedly said he's open to negotiations with the Islamic Republic, while also increasingly targeting Iran's oil sales with sanctions as part of his reimposed maximum pressure policy. Trump sees a thirst for $5 million gold card visa out of Washington in the AP. President Donald Trump said Wednesday that he plans to start selling a gold card visa with a potential pathway to U.S. citizenship for $5 million, seeking to have that new initiative replace a 35-year-old visa program for investors. "I happen to think it'll sell like crazy. It's a market," Trump said, "but we'll know very soon." During the first meeting of his second-term cabinet, Trump suggested that the new revenue generated from the program could be used to pay off the country's debt. "If we sell 1 million, that's $5 trillion," he said. Of the demand from the business community to participate, he said, "I think we will sell a lot because I think there's really a thirst." Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick told reporters during the same meeting that Trump's initiative would replace the EB-5 program, which offers U.S. visas to investors who spend about $1 million on a company that employs at least 10 people. The new program could mark a dramatic shift in U.S. immigration policy, but isn't unprecedented elsewhere. Countries in Europe and elsewhere offer what have become known as golden visas that allow participants to pay in order to secure immigration status in desirable places. Congress, meanwhile, determines qualifications for U.S. citizenship, but the president claimed gold cards would not require congressional approval. Piatt County Sheriff's Office says Monticello man arrested in November fatal hit and run. By the News Gazette out of Monticello. A Monticello man has been arrested in connection with a hit-and-run incident in November that resulted in the death of a 39-year-old woman. The Piatt County Sheriff's Office said Wednesday that Dustin L. Weigel, Weigel, 28, was arrested Tuesday on charges of leaving the scene of a personal injury accident resulting in death, a Class 1 felony. Weigel was taken to the Piatt County Jail pending a detention hearing. On November 10th, deputies were called to the area of County Roads 1900 North and 1300 East, northeast of Monticello and south of White Heath, for a report of an accident. They located Javila Gianetta, who was critically injured, and had her taken to Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana, where she died of her injuries. Ford County Courts. Drug charges filed against ex-Paxton Pharmacy's owner. By the News Gazette of Paxton. The former head pharmacist and owner of Doug's Compounding Pharmacy in downtown Paxton, which closed abruptly in the winter of 2022 to 23, is facing felony drug charges after federal investigators found tens of thousands of prescription drugs in her home in March 2023. On Monday, Ford County State's Attorney Andrew Killian charged Jenna Vogel, 35, of Gibson City, with two counts of possession with intent to deliver a controlled substance. One is a Class X felony, and one is a Class 3 felony. An initial hearing has been set for March 25th in Ford County Circuit Court. The charges accuse Vogel of possession of 100 grams or more of a substance containing hydrocodone, as well as an amount of amphetamine. They stem from an investigation involving the Illinois Department of Financial and Professional Regulation, which temporarily suspended Vogel's registered pharmacist license, and the Federal Drug Enforcement Administration, whose investigators said on March 10, 2023, they removed 43,893 controlled substances from her home. According to the complaint filed by the state regulator, Vogel allegedly bought more than 50,000 tablets of clonidine, a drug used to control high blood pressure and ADHD, but never sold them. Vogel's pharmacy closed shortly after an Arkansas bank filed a foreclosure complaint alleging that she defaulted on a $1.75 million mortgage used to acquire it. The bank secured a judgment in its favor in summer 2023. Vogel had operated the pharmacy after buying it in 2019 from Doug Higgins, who had operated it as Doug's Compounding Pharmacy since 1997. Danville man gets 5 years in attack on woman that caused her to lose an eye. By Dave Hinton, H-I-N-T-O-N, out of Danville. A Danville man has been sentenced to 5 years in prison in an attack last fall on a woman that caused her to lose an eye. Vermilion County Judge Mark S. Goodwin sentenced Jeremy Brown, 29, after he pleaded guilty to aggravated domestic battery with great bodily harm, a Class 2 felony. Brown is required to serve 85% of the sentence. He was also ordered to serve 4 years of parole after his release. The charges stem from a September 14 incident that Danville police said began when Brown, who had been at the victim's apartment and was leaving, re-entered. Police said the woman told Brown to leave, and he then punched her in the face, causing her shirt to be covered in blood. They said Brown then drove the victim to the hospital, where he told medical personnel that he had accidentally elbowed her in the eye. The victim was taken by helicopter to a St. Louis hospital, but lost her eye as a result of the orbital bone surrounding it having been broken in the attack. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the News Gazette, dated February 27, 2025. Please stay tuned.